Hi, I'm Dr. Pam Peek, and welcome to episode 277. Oh my gosh, there's like sweat coming off my brow just saying that. Whew, a lot of care unit. We do this all the time in something called TPN or total parenteral nutrition. And here I was with absolutely zipola for training in nutrition. And yet I'm supposed to be writing the orders for how to keep someone alive when they're going through something that's literally life-threatening, and I didn't have an ounce of training in me. I learned from at the feet of the registered dietitians who'd been in the ICU forever, and I thought, this is ridiculous. And I began to have this eye-opening experience at the very critical levels of the importance of nutrition for both, you know, sustaining life. And then I said to myself, well, let's connect some dots. If it's so important here, it's got to be important out there, you know. And that's when I went to my first meeting at Harvard, believe it or not, where I met George Blackburn and all of the,
yes.
Oh yeah, all the icons. And I was encouraged then to, you know, drop what I was doing in critical care and run on over to academia to get the rest of this training outside of traditional training, just like you did. And, you know, I'm looking at your book, and I love the way it's organized. Everyone out there on the Her Podcast land, you're just going to love this. First of all, you know, we have this beautiful relationship between the gut and the brain, which was spoken to in just a very engaging way in the very first chapter. And then we get into depression, anxiety, PTSD, ADHD, dementia and brain fog, OCD, insomnia and fatigue, bipolar and schizophrenia, you know, and libido. Yeah, I kind of like that one. Whoa, we're going to have a long talk about that one. All about aphrodisiacs. I skipped right to chapter 10. And I said, okay, let's have a little talk here.
We might have to have a whole episode.
Oh, no, no. Listen, honey, Nadu, your little behind's coming back multiple times. You know that. And then there's this beautiful chapter, Cooking and Eating for Your Brain, which has recipes and preparation by the chef herself. And then some really cool appendices that teach you about the common sources of vitamins, selected minerals, you know, the glycemic load of carbohydrates. And of course, Uma explains this in her book as well. So, okay, let's do it. Let's go to libido. Let's give them a little taste of what this is really all about in your book. Libido. All right.
So, we found that there were certain foods. And thank you for appreciating how the book was organized. You know, what I did is I looked at about 700 research articles, which I condensed into about 550 that made it into the book, which people can see at the end. But we also, you know, really had to work to make it digestible. And what I found in libido was that there were significant associations with, you know, foods to embrace and foods to avoid. The thing about the foods to embrace was that pistachio nuts ended up being high up on that list. So, you know, quarter cup of pistachio nuts when you're going on a date may be a way to start planning. But also, you know, things that boost oxytocin came up high on the list. Dark chocolate is one of them. And so, you know, we list a few other foods as well. But it, you know, it's sort of how do you put these together in terms of how do you eat them consistently if you're having a little bit of difficulty in that area. You know, and so, there are things like apples and pomegranate juice and then onions and avocados. Then we found that the spices like saffron and fenugreek were also hit some high notes. And saffron is an interesting spice because it has a significant amount of data around improvement of mood as well. So, you know, I think it's helpful for people to understand that by incorporating certain foods, if they're struggling with one of these conditions, becomes the way. It's not a quick fix in terms of it's going to happen. The change is going to happen today because it's food and you know, not a medication like Tylenol, which works pretty quickly when you have a headache. This will take a little bit of time, but it sets you in the right path. But then we also found there are things people should really avoid. For example, with men who had low libido, soy proteins were found to be problematic. And also the sort of Western diet was found to be problematic because of some of the fried foods and the foods that had a very high glycemic index. And it, for some reason that, for clinical reasons, there seemed to be an association. You know, so I feel like it's at least provides a little bit of guideline. And for those individuals with mental health problems who are on medications, especially SSRI medications, some of my patients struggle with the low libido as a side effect. So that was one of the reasons I included it in the book.
I love it. Well, you know, listen, I'm going to be honest with you, Uma. You know, I went right to the libido cheat sheet. All right. So girlfriends out there, you know, whip out that little, that little pen and paper. Here we go. Foods that boost oxytocin. Okay. Tell them what oxytocin is. Come on, Uma.
Sure. So it's a, you know, it's a hormone. It's you know, it's the, it's sort of, I think
tend
about it
and befriend.
Exactly. It's sort of, you know, the hugging hormone. It's the one that comes on when you're emotionally driven and hugging someone and affectionate. And, you know, the oxytocin is actually found that the certain foods that boost it. And dark chocolate is one of them. So about dark chocolate, you know, I think it's a yay for everyone, right? But it's a super dark chocolate, Pam. I mean, I know that you know that, but it's not the candy bars. You know, it's the super dark chocolate that you buy in chunks. Tip here, always use a serrated knife to cut big chunks of chocolate because it works better and you won't cut yourself. But, you know, cutting up pieces of dark chocolate, maybe pairing it with some other foods would be nice. And then the foods that have magnesium and essential amino acids, so things like meat, certain grains, milk, dairy, certain vegetables and eggs. But then there were also things like, you know, if you are struggling with libido, have a glass of wine. You know, have a glass of wine.
Wait a minute,
especially
now.
Red wine.
Hold on now. Hold on now. You're saying a glass of red wine.
Yeah.
And dark chocolate. I've just died and went to heaven. Come on now.
Add in some pistachios.
Oh my God. And pistachios, almonds, and walnuts. You realize those are my three big hitters right there.
I love those. I actually do love those. I do. Okay. I mean, I know that, you know, I should probably include more macadamias, you know, because the walnuts and the omega-6s, but still I eat it in, you know, I always say to my patients, eat a quarter cup a day, because although these are really good for you in other conditions, you know, you don't want to increase your calorie load from that. You want to have enough that really perks you up from all the benefits. But, you know, going back to dark chocolate, it's one of those one of my favorite foods in the sense that it has so many benefits, but it's the super dark, more than 70%, really natural sources. So it doesn't have the added sugars and all of that. And it does require a little bit, you know, you kind of had to get used to it. So I'll say to my patients, maybe pair it with citrus fruit to start. Or strawberries, you know, which you know, if you're going out on a date, strawberries pair well with champagne. You know, so you might be able to mix in these foods in a way that makes your evening fun, or as you're planning toward a date, really helps you build up on foods that might help over time.
I love it. Now, okay, the next one is apples. Happily, my husband loves them. I'm just throwing it out there. I'm just saying. And then pomegranate juice. Now, that's kind of interesting. I kind of like that. Not the ones that have like 400 pounds of sugar in them.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Hello. So, you know, be careful. Now, this is the one I had a laugh. I almost fell out of my chair. Onions?
I know. Exactly. That wasn't an obvious one, you know. But here's the thing. I love onions for the simple fact that they have so many other good benefits. You know, being from the allium family, they're super rich in being prebiotic food for our gut. So I'm thinking, you know, you don't have to have them raw, so you could cook with them and, you know, do something fun with them, but they're going to have other benefits for you. You know, by feeding those good bugs in your gut, you're only going to be doing your mental health good and your body good. So, you know, I found that fun, but I also think some of it, Pam, I'm not sure how you do it, but, you know, some of it is interpreting these lists to people and saying, well, here's how you can put these things together. And not that people can't think of it, but sometimes it's just an easier, the book is really intended to be easy. It's intended to be a guide where you can look at the chapter that, you know, you feel you need the most, or say a family member needs the most, and try to look through these lists and start to incorporate the foods in an easy way. Then look at recipes and see if you can pair that. Or if not, you know, ask us on Instagram. We're always throwing out recipes to help people.
I love it. And then you have avocado. Ooh. All right. So I'm seeing the onions and the avocado in a really healthy salad.
Right.
And then when you have the foods and compounds to avoid, you know, everything in the Western diet, basically everything you're eating right now, that's all wrong. I mean, it's just a mess out there. But here's something interesting. Alcohol. Talk to us about alcohol.
You know, this is a challenge. And even when I wrote the book, I really had to think carefully about what the guidelines are that are offered by national organizations, then really combine that in my practice with what I see as the problems. I think that red wine with the good resveratrol in it, you know, a glass a day, a good quality red wine, maybe on an evening out, more than a glass of wine. You know, I think where alcohol becomes an issue for people is that they don't realize it has a depressant effect. So in the moment you enjoy the glass of wine, or you enjoy the alcohol, let's just broaden it to alcohol, and you feel maybe a slight buzz, or you feel, you know, kind of more relaxed. In the moment, those feelings are true. The problem is that alcohol ultimately is a depressant, and that my patients who struggle with, say, alcohol, you know, substance use disorder, ultimately may present with severe depression. Then what happens, the second issue in mental health is as you're drinking a little bit more, and then you say get up the next morning, you feel jittery, and that minor alcohol withdrawal then drives anxiety. The other thing is that people tend to, when they drink alcohol, you can sort of feel dehydrated. And when they are dehydrated, it drives the anxiety further. So it can be problematic in the mental health area for those reasons. So, you know, we tried as best as possible to give people guidelines. Some of the guidelines I thought were generous in the sense that if you're really struggling with it, you probably want to do a little bit less. But at the same time, know what you're going into, but enjoy it. I always believe in a treat day every week, not a cheat day. Cheat days psychologically just makes you feel bad. But a treat day is, you know, have the glass of wine or the cocktail that you enjoy. But then I give people guidelines, like if you're having a cocktail, we made, for example, you talked about pomegranates. We recently posted a pomegranate martini on Instagram. And, you know, I basically said to people, spend the little extra, get those pomegranate seeds in a little tub and make it into a juice, strain it and have it in your martini. It was so sweet and delicious that you didn't actually add the simple syrup, which is sugar. You know, and people don't realize when they have a fancy cocktail that simple syrup is a ton of sugar. So it's those little things that I think we can have alcohol, but think about those little tweaks that could make it healthier for you, whether you're making it home or you're having it out. So, you know, fresh lime juice, fresh citrus versus a juice out of a processed juice out of a can or from the supermarket.
Now, you've been bringing up sugar a number of times, and mm-hmm. that's on your list of foods and compounds to avoid. Let's talk about sugar. You know, and you're talking about processed sugar. So these are the baked goods that you buy out there, candy, the sugary sodas, anything sweetened with sugar or high fructose corn syrup.
Exactly.
What's going on with sugar and libido?
Well, you know, I think, unfortunately, there are many, I thought that there were about 61 other names for sugar on food labels that were found on the internet, but I've come to understand more recently that it's much larger than that, so it's grown. And I think the whole issue around sugar is, you know, they're natural sugars in fruit. They're natural sugars that we consume anyway. We're really talking, like you said, Pam, about those baked goods, the preserved goods, the things that are shelf-stable, the processed foods, and also savory foods. You know, pasta sauces from the supermarket, salad dressings, fruit juices that you buy in the supermarket, those types of things, ketchup, they have a lot of added sugar. And what I'd like to say to people is 4 grams of sugar is 1 teaspoon. And I ask them, I teach my patients to understand food labels because When you bake or cook in the United States, our recipes are standardized to pounds and ounces. So when people look at a food label, what does 4 grams mean? It doesn't mean anything. But if you know that a rough calculation of 4 grams of sugar is 1 teaspoon, you can understand that in a 4 to 6 ounce fruited yogurt with blueberries, and you could say, oh, Dr. Nida said blueberries are good. They're great antioxidant. But here's the thing. With that amount of sugar of sometimes 6 to 7 teaspoons in a small yogurt, it defies the benefit that you could get. So I think just having people understand that sometimes and breaking it down is very useful to give them some quick tips on the go about things they should eat and shouldn't. And then the second thing about sugars, of course, it's part of our Western diet. And it's something that is in so many of our foods that I think the studies that have shown when we prepare our food at home, we consume fewer calories. When we consume our food at home, even when we're not following a special diet, we still consume fewer calories. There's a lot to be said for knowing what goes in your food. And I think when we're home, we're not pouring white sugar into our food. And I think that's the difference that may help people just to know.
I love it. I absolutely love it. It's really important to read labels. And to your point about the, 1,000 names for sugar out there, I mean, this is a stealthy kind of sneaky thing that's done on labels. It doesn't say, we have sugar, in this one particular baked good that you just bought out of, some convenience store. Instead, there's going to be sneaky language that you don't understand. It looks like a science fair project. Just be awfully careful. But hey, I got an idea for you. It's original. I'm just saying, how about you cook? How about you take control of what you're putting in your mouth? Now, I don't know about you. Oh, I do know about you, Uma, because I read your damn book. And that is, I love to sweeten with other things. Hey, yeah. Check this out. What about dates? Love dates. Aren't mm-hmm. they wonderful? And I use carrots. And mm-hmm. oh my gosh, beets. There's so many mm-hmm. other things. Beets. Oh, I mean, mm-hmm. there's so many other cool ways to sweeten that we're not even thinking about. Come on, they're natural and they're wonderful. And I want you to really pick up a copy of this fabulous book. It's called This Is Your Brain on Food, an indispensable guide to the surprising foods that fight all kinds of mental health issues, but also just stuff that goes on with you, with your mind and body on a day-by-day basis, like including anxiety. And I've been kind of running through this whole libido piece because, honey, I know this was all over your attention span out there. See, I got you on that one, man. But there's so many other chapters here that do precisely what this chapter did, which is enlighten you about this food-brain connection that we didn't really fully appreciate. Who better to do it than a board-certified psychiatrist on faculty at Harvard who's also a chef? I mean, come on. This is the perfect combination of what I call street creds. She has credibility. And this is why the minute I had heard about you, actually I'd read your wonderful review by, I believe it was Elizabeth Bernstein, who's always on my podcast, one of my favorite Wall Street Journal writers. I read her review of your book and I said, find this woman, stalk her,
She is also just such a wonderful person. So I can understand why both of you know each other. That makes
perfect
sense to me.
We're always getting in trouble together. Speaking of which, you're going to be back on this podcast countless times now. You know that.
I'd love to.
Just sort of a guarantee. So everyone out there, I want you to just, keep in mind that there's a new way of looking at taking good care of yourself. Hey, aren't you afraid of what's going on in your head, in your beautiful brain, your mind? Well, of course you are. And what you want to do is take good care of yourself. It's not just about going out and getting exercise. Of course, I'm a crazy person about that. And you've always heard my rant and raves. But I'm always looking for some superb resources for you to be able to run with when it comes to all things your brain. And I know that I don't care how old you are as a woman out there, that you need to know how to optimize your brain function and to prevent problems by actually feeding it, nourishing it, you know. And it's not just about popping 600 supplements. This is about actually cooking and nourishing yourself. And at the same time, you know what you're going to do? You're going to clean up your dietary intake anyway, because you're not nourishing your brain by eating a bunch of crap. And that's what the Western diet mostly is. And so I want you to pay attention. So I'm just giving you another fabulous resource. It is a fabulous resource. Now, what I'd like you to do is run on over to Dr. Nadeau's wonderful website. Learn more about her work and her book. It's UMA. It's UMANAIDOOMD. So it's UMA Nadeau. MD.com. Oh, to hell with it. Just go look up the title of the damn book. This is Your Brain on Food. That's what you want. This is Your Brain on Food. And just reward yourself by going out and getting the book and starting to experiment with some of the recipes, because they're fabulous. And learn more about how you can really take better care of your mind and body. Uma, I cannot begin to thank you enough for being on the Herb Podcast.
Thank you so much, Pam. It was such a pleasure. I look forward to coming back. And if I could just chip in by saying that if people like, you know, understanding some of the research behind what we talk about, on Instagram, we're always putting out information and recipes even. So follow us at which is at Dr. Uma Naidoo. So at DrUmaNaidoo. You know, we love to have followers and we have a great community.
Oh, that's fantastic. Thank you so much, Deb. I love it. I'm so glad you shared your social media piece. You know, when it comes to things like creating wonderful dishes and mm-hmm. educating people about it, there's nothing like a gorgeous picture
exactly.
and a lot of info about that. So I'm so glad you added that to it. So again, Dr. Uma Naidoo. Oh, all right. Now, just run on over right now. This is a command, right? I mean, seriously, run on over to iTunes, rate and review the show. I want to hear what you just really think about what I just said and what Dr. Naidoo shared with you, especially about all things, well, your libido. Why do I care? Because I'm Dr. Pam Peek, host of the Herb Podcast. Follow me on Facebook at Dr. Pam Peek or Twitter at Pam Peek MD. And remember to catch every single episode of the Herb Podcast on iTunes or Radio MD. Thanks for listening today. And, you know, stay safe out there and stay well.